I want to talk to you tonight about the key to success. Now, you know, I made this statement several times that there's two different ideas on success. There's God's idea of success, and there's the world's idea of success. You know, the world measures success by accomplishment. God measured success by obedience to his word. You know, now obedience is not a refrigerator word. How many understand what I'm talking about? You know, how many of you stick notes and stuff on your refrigerator? Anybody do that? A few people do. Anybody stick notes on your bathroom mirror? Well, obedience is not a word you're going to put up there. Most people, you talk about obedience and people start cringing, you know. Now, look at Joshua 1:8. I'll give you a chance to turn there. Sometimes I go a little fast, but okay. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do accordingly to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The New Living says it like this: study this book of the law continually, meditate on it day and night, so you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed. Now, this tells us here to study the word and to meditate on it. Now, a lot of people are good at that part. They're good at studying the word and thinking about it. But these same people are not very successful and they're not very prosperous. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is that they're only doing the first part of it. They're meditating and they're studying, but they are not doing the last part, which says, obey all that is written in it, then you will succeed. Not just because you read the word and you study the word are you going to be successful. That's only part of it. When you obey what's written in it, then it says you'll be successful. You know, the reason to meditate on the word is so that it becomes a part of you that becomes the motivation for you to obey the word. When you obey the word, then you'll become successful. Don't ever think that you'll be successful if you don't obey what God's word says here. You know, when God told me to come to work here for my dad, he went in 3, and that was 31 years, so y'all do the math. I'm not good at math. I'm good at history and science, math and English, and you can tell I'm not good at English. Listen, let me talk. But anyway, I came here from a associate pastor's job with my father-in-law. I was destined to take that church over. Everything was all set in place. I did everything anyway. And I was preaching at least 2 or 3 times a week. And now I come to work with Dad, just setting up crusades, out on the road, be out for 3 months at a time, never come back here to Tulsa, reading contracts from civic centers and all of that kind of stuff, and just dealing with natural stuff. But I came because I knew that God said to come. I obeyed God. It wasn't fun. Hello. But some people don't obey God unless the blessing comes overnight. It wasn't fun that we took Lynette was a hairdresser and she'd make 4 times what I was, but we come to work for this ministry on a third of what we have been making every month. And then when I finally did start Rhema, I had employees working for me, and I was the head making more than I was. That sort of seems like a step backwards, but I knew that's what God said do, and I was going to obey whatever. You see, there's the problem. A lot of people, if they start and things don't work like they think they should, then they jump out, and then they get out of the will of God, and nothing's going to work. You know, I stayed with it. It wasn't fun, I can tell you. But I stayed there. Did I think about quitting? Yeah. Lots of times. Did I start to do something else? Yes. I formed my own organization called Living Faith Ministries. It was a triangle, and it said living and faith and then ministries on the bottom on the triangle. And my colors were green and white. I took my own personal money, and I bought the albums. I got the masters of the cassettes. I got paid for all that, got it all ready, you know, and I had all my albums and everything. And the Lord said to me, are you going to obey me, or are you going to do what you want to do? I walked into the Kenneth Hagin's Ministries shipping and receiving department and the tape department, all that. And I brought everything, all of the albums, all the tapes, the masters, everything. I said, hey, I'm a part of this ministry. Here, y'all take all this. And I'd already paid for all of it. Didn't ask for a dime. See, you got to learn to obey God if you're going to succeed. I would not be here where I am today if I hadn't obeyed God and left that church. If I hadn't obeyed God and give all that stuff away because I was trying to do my own thing. You see, I want you to realize the importance of obeying God. That's where success comes. Obedience has another companion. It's called willingness. See, I was obedient, but I wasn't being very willing. I was going to do something else. See, in Isaiah 1:19, y'all probably all know it ahead of me. I don't have to tell you about it. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Not just being obedient. Being obedient and willing. You know, you can be obedient to something and do it and still not be willing. Anybody realize that? You know, some people obey God, but they're not willing. You know, I remember Dad left that church, middle of my third grade year. He left Van, Texas, and went out in traveling ministry that he was in for the rest of his life because God told him to. But I'm not going to tell the whole story, but through a series of events and things, we wasn't doing very good. We're about to starve to death. Didn't have no money, no nothing. And Dad got to talking to God about it, and he said, I'm obedient. I obeyed you. I left the church. I went out like you told me to. He said, yeah. And he quoted God, this scripture said, the obedient, you know, if you're willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. He said, I obeyed you. And the Lord said, but you're doing it because you're obeying me, but you're not willing. You're doing it with an unwilling attitude. How many of you, I guarantee you, everybody here, or most of us, we have obeyed our parents and done a job. We did it, but we wasn't doing it willingly. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I got a few people that know what I'm talking about. I guess the rest of you are all, anytime your mom or dad told you to do something, you was willing to do it. You just obeyed, and you was obedient and willing. You know? I see one of our RMA ministers over there, Brother Jay Adkins, his dad Don Adkins, and is one of our Rhema pastors, and he came to, I guarantee you, he obeyed Don, but he wasn't always willing. Am I right? I've been there, done that, and you have too. We can be obedient, but not willing. And still, we don't have a problem. We got a problem. See, willingness has to do with our attitude. Obedience has to do with our action. Come on now, you understand that? Obedience has to do with action. Willingness has to do with attitude. But when you're both willing and obedient, then you get the blessing. You know, over in 2 Corinthians 9:7 in the NLT, it says, you must each make up your own mind how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. You know, if you are willing and not giving, God can't bless you. If you're giving but you're not willing, God still can't bless you. See? But it's both when you're willing and giving or obeying is when you get the blessing. Now, the key to God's blessing is obeying Him, and especially His word, and if He speaks to you, obeying what He tells you to do. Deuteronomy 28. Find it on your iPad, your iPhone, in your Bible. Some of you got both. You know, I got it right here on this phone. And I go to a bunch of different translations if I need to. Now, here we go. Now it shall come to pass, if you would diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I have to command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds and the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Now, let's read that from the New Living Translation. Maybe understand it a little better. If you fully obey the Lord your God by keeping all His commandments I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will exalt you above all the nations. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in your towns and in the country. You will be blessed with many children and productive fields. You will be blessed with fertile herds and flocks. You'll be blessed with baskets overflowing with fruit and the kneading bowl filled with bread. And you will be blessed wherever you go, both in coming and going. Now, none of you young people understand this kneading bowl, but my grandma, she used to have a bowl there on the cabinet that had a little bit of bread making in it. All the time it was there, and when she wanted to make bread, she'd go there and add to it and make biscuits or whatever. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I got some people know what I'm talking about. Now, everybody wants the blessings listed in verses 3 and 6. But the key to receiving those blessings, if you fully obey the Lord your God by keeping all His commandments I'm giving you today. So, here we have obedience. These blessings shall come on the children of Abraham. That was the blessings that came to the children of Israel, Abraham's offspring. You go read in Galatians, and it says that we are the spiritual descendants. I'm going to paraphrase it, 2016. We are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. We are Abraham's seed according to the promise. These blessings should be ours, but I want you to notice that you don't get the blessing without the obedience and the willingness. You know, obeying means becoming a doer of the word. You know, James 1, 22 through 25, New Living Translation. And remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to. If you don't obey, you're only fooling yourself. for just listening and don't obey, it's like looking at your face in a mirror but doing nothing to improve your appearance. You see yourself and walk away from get what you look like. But if you keep looking steadily into God's perfect law, the law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. See, we have to understand that obeying the word is not just an Old Testament idea. Now we're over here in the New Testament. You know, a lot of people, oh, that's the Old Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament. Well, hey, what did it say right here? James. Sometimes people get the idea, you know, we under grace, we don't have to do some of this stuff. Well, that's not true. By disobeying God's word, you disqualify yourself from receiving the blessing. You know, James 1:22 tells us to listen and obey, to hear the word and to act. If you only listen and don't obey, you're like somebody looked in the mirror and don't comb your hair and go away and forget what that you look like a mess, you know. You see, the reason to study the word and meditate on the word so that you become what the word says you become. Too many people want the blessing without doing what it says. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, I mean, you got a lot of guys. I played ball in high school and stuff, but you got a lot of guys that would aspire to play ball, but they won't do what's necessary to do it. You got to do what's necessary. You got to practice when you don't want to practice. You got to play when you don't feel like it, you know. all of you know that, 3 years ago, I guess now, I had full knee replacement. And I got complete. In fact, I completed my therapy 2 sessions ahead of time. And the doctor, not just the therapist, but she was the doctor of therapy. She said, you something else. But you see, that Dr. Slater that did my knee told me, he said, if you don't do the rehab properly, you'll be back in here. And I don't know how many, I went back a year later for my checkup, and there was a guy in there on a walker that had his knee done the same time I did, but he didn't do what was necessary. I mean, they told me, this is what you do. So at home, I would go through it. When I'd go to the place over here, the therapy place, you know, whatever you call it, and rehab, thank you, there you go. You know, they put me on, the first thing they did, they put me on this bicycle, and so you got the seat where you can go, and man, it was hurting, but I was pushing anyway, and I just kept pedaling, and it loosened up a little bit, and I pulled the seat forward a little more, so it was pressure on it again. This guy beside him, oh, and he's pushing his seat back. And I'm pushing mine forward because I knew, you know, being an old athlete, if you're going to get back on the field to play, you got no pain, no gain. How many athletes know what I'm talking about? You know. And so I just kept pushing through it, you know. And she went and she put me on this incline board like this, and you got your feet against the board, and then she lets it, takes the deal loose and lets it down, and your knees bend, you know, but your feet, your legs are still straight there, and so I did a couple of them, and so she said, I'll be back here a minute, I gotta go check on so and so. She went over there, and by the time she got back, she said, how many you done? I said, oh, I think this is a 10 or 12. And she said, get off of there. I said, why? She said, you're pushing too hard. I said, well, it wasn't hurting that bad, so I just kept going, you know. But if you see, some people want the blessings of God, but they're not willing to study. They're not willing to obey what God says do. Now, I realize teaching like this tonight that it goes crosswise. Somebody, well, I want to hear something that's going to make me shout. Well, great. That shout'll last you as long as you get out the door there. But good, solid teaching will last you forever. It's great to have inspiration, and I like inspiration, but inspiration won't last you. It won't help you when the chips are down. When the devil putting the squeeze on, there ain't no inspiration there. Oh, I'm sorry. There isn't any inspiration there. See, there I told you I wasn't very good at English. You know, remember, the reason for the word and to study it is so that you become full of the word and then act on it. Act on it. Be willing. You know, now let me give you four quick steps here, and it's about 10 minutes to 8, so it's not 7:52. Hey, y'all moved my clock. I like it better there than where it was. Thank you. I like it better there. See, y'all didn't know it, but see, I got a clock back there I can look at. If I want to quit, I can. If I don't, I just keep going. It's just back there. Now, don't you turn around and look at it. We got an hour of power, and I may get you out a little bit early tonight. Let me give you four practical things. Hear, study, meditate on the Word of God. Number one, hear, study, meditate on the Word of God. How do you do that? Well, by listening to somebody minister the Word, by studying it yourself, and by reading a scripture and then sitting out somewhere and just thinking about it, meditating, mull it over, think about it, you know. Then number two, believe what you have heard and you're studying and you're meditating on. You really believe it. Just don't give mental assent to it. Just don't agree mentally with it, but really believe it. And then begin to speak it out of your mouth. And then act on the word that you're speaking out of your mouth. And while you're acting on it, be willing. Be a willing vessel. You know, this is something you need to do on a daily basis. You know, many people have all of these things that they say every day, and that's good, and there's nothing wrong with it, as long as it just does not become a ritual. I've seen some people and talked to them myself. They are so involved with making these 25 confessions every day, they forgot to do it that day, and they were just, oh, what's going to happen? I didn't make my confessions. Nothing. Actually, if they're that tied to it, making the confession, not doing them in good anyway, because they're doing it out of sense of duty rather doing it out of a heart for God. Come on now. And there's nothing wrong with that. I have some things that I say about every day. I may not say them every day, but about every day. One thing I probably do say every day is that when I get up, I thank the Lord for this is his day. He's made it, and I'm going to rejoice in it. Another thing I do every day is I thank God for my health. And I thank God no cancer live in my body. I thank God that I can see and hear and walk. See, we don't need to take those kind of things for granted. But, you know, just because you make 45 confessions, there's no sign that it's going to really happen unless you really believe in it and doing something about it. Hello. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Turn to your neighbor and say, the key to success is studying the word, then obeying it, and being willing. Then you'll eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. We just sort of stirred up these people's pure minds for just a few moments to get them to realizing things that they already know. I realize, Father, most of them already knew everything I said tonight. But Father, help them to get a hold of it again, stir it up in their hearts, renew their minds and their spirits with the things that you want them to get a hold of tonight so that they can be successful in their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Did you get something tonight? I trust you got a hold of something. I realize most of you probably already knew most of that, but it doesn't hurt us to be stirred up every once in a while, does it? I know I got school teachers here. How many school teachers I got here? I got two school teachers. I know we got them in this church. They go back over and over with their students, even though their students that heard it. First thing, when you trade grade, and remember, you come out of one grade, go to the next grade, the first thing they did is review everything you already had in the grade before. How many remember that? And you sit there and say, well, you know. But what they're trying to do, they're stirring you up so that you can go on. That's what I want to do, not stir you up so you can go on with God, you know. Oh, I know that. Yeah, that's, you might know it, but are you doing it? That's the thing about it. Hey, listen, if you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, you can know him before you leave here tonight. These people standing down here, the ladies here and the men over here, if you'll come down here as we're dismissed, they'll pray with you. If you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, we believe in receiving the Holy Spirit around here according to the Bible, not according to some church creed or doctrine. No, I could care less about that. But what the Bible said. Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm talking about a Bible experience. And if you'd like to receive it, if you come down here, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, you need prayer for healing, you need agreement in prayer for something, come down here, talk to these prayer people and they will pray with you and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah and glory to God. Thank God for all these blessings. Don't forget all the announcements. Yes, come right on. That's fine. Right over here, young man. Praise the Lord. Just go right there to one of those guys. They'll talk with you. Anybody? Yeah, give me my hand. Anybody else want to come? Come on down here. Minister. Don't forget the announcements. We need people to go sign up. Hey, and I think we're putting together, Bill, is it 30 different bags we're putting together for? We're trying to do 40 if we get enough. If people bring in enough stuff, we're trying to do 40 bags so people that are less fortunate than we are can have a Thanksgiving dinner, okay? You know, hey, and listen, don't be ashamed. If you're in a bind right now and you're part of this church, go in that church office. That's what we started it for in the first place. Back in the 80s, we started this in the late 80s when the oil crashed here in town. You had oil engineers and, I mean, big people out of jobs. And the Lord told me that's why we started, to help the people in the church. And then it's expanded to that. But don't be ashamed. All it is a stopgap measure to help you, and we love to do it. So come on in there and talk to them, okay? Hey, don't forget about signing up to help with the donations. The reason we do that is because I had some people talk, you know, I'm out in the community, you know, I'm in the race community. I've been in it, you know, I like racing, and I'm sort of the chaplain around there. Well, I am the chaplain at the Chili Bowl every year. I pray there. They said, listen, we know it costs you money. We go to other places and they charge us to drive through the lights, and theirs is nothing, and you don't charge anybody anything, and it's so good, we'd be willing to give something. So why don't you just put some collection boxes out there for people like us that would like. I had so many that said that to me. That's why we started doing it. So I like to explain things, let people know why we do it. And hey, it does help with getting the. In fact, we just about got all the lights. We may have gotten them all on LED. I don't know whether they're all LED yet or not. We've been trying, and those things cost a whole lot more money than the regular lights, but they last a lot longer. So if you could help, you know, families do it, School of Bible, Link teams, everybody do it. Hey, Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them. We've got a special gift that we put together just for you, and it's not just a tape or something, a CD or something. It is really a nice gift. You're going to like it. Hey, if you're looking for a church home, What do we say? Welcome home. Just come on here. We call ourselves the Rhema family. You come and join us. We're going to have a great time serving God unlimited right here. Praise God. Hey, Sunday morning right here. Be here. I'm going to do my Thanksgiving sermon. You know, I always do a special sermon on special days. Be a Thanksgiving. I put it together. In fact, I got it right here in this book right here. I put it together today. Today's my study day. That's when I study sermons and put sermons together. So I'm ready right now. You have to be careful when you do that, though. You start getting a little bit all right, so you got to stay in line. Hey, if you need prayer for anything, come just like this young man did. Come to the front right now. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I want success in my life. I'm going to do what the Word says. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday right here. 9 o'clock, School of the Bible.